It's providing all students, and I stress all students, access to high quality educational resources with the opportunity to choose a career in STEM.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Discovery Education. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday. Before we jump into today's conversation, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by the STEM Careers Coalition, the first of its kind national STEM initiative powered by corporate leaders and anchored in schools by Discovery Education. The STEM Careers Coalition prepares 10 million students for the future of work by providing equitable access to digital content and experiences that engage students, build foundational STEM knowledge, and develop the critical skills students need for college and career success. Today's episode is titled Why Equity in STEM Education is Critical for the Future. And it was so wonderful speaking with Jackie Smalls, the Vice President of Social Impact Coalitions at Discovery Education. Jackie shares so much in this episode, and one thing you'll hear throughout is how important it is to be intentional when thinking about equity in STEM. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today about the topic of equity and STEM and STEM careers. But before we get started and dive into that conversation, would love to hear a little bit about your role and your background in this space.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me. So my name is Jackie Smalls. I'm the Vice President for Social Impact Coalitions at Discovery Education. I actually started my STEM journey as an environmental scientist in the United States Army. I did eight and a half years in the Army focused on environmental science. And then I transitioned to the classroom. I say I went from one battlefield to the next, but in a totally different context. And I would say being a teacher, and want to give a shout out to all the teachers who really are dedicated to the work and to our students. But I'd entered in the classroom, and that's really my love, where my love for STEM grew. Seeing how students just love to learn science and math while integrating engineering practices and leveraging technology, just to see their excitement, just to seeing the engagement, really started me on my STEM journey. Also, my journey with Discovery Education started a decade ago as an instructional coach to many teachers on how to integrate science and technology. So I was able to show my success and share with them also the challenges of the success of integrating that all to what we call STEM education today. Learned lots from teaching teachers as well as just picking up some skills and, you know, different ways to approach students. And I also participated as one of the writers for the Next Generation Science Standards, which we really wanted students to learn science differently and not just factoids of science, but how can they really engage about those science and engineering practices that I spoke of earlier? How can they do that in a very thoughtful way through the K-12 spectrum? So not just waiting to high school to really think like a scientist or think like an engineer, how could they do that in kindergarten? That really started my journey into STEM.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, listeners of the podcast might have heard me mention before, I taught in a traditional elementary school, traditional public school in New York City, and we transitioned to a magnet school for environmental stewardship. So just that idea of, you know, knowing that about your background and bringing that even into our conversation today and that next gen standards connection is just so fantastic. And so, you know, today, as we're exploring this topic of equity in STEM, for most listeners, these are terms they've come across before, but I really want to set the stage for our conversation today by unpacking these terms together. So how would you describe the concept of equity in STEM?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I guess I should start with saying STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, because I do have even my parents. STEM stands for this, right, Jackie? And we look through an equity lens. I consider it from, you know, from the standpoint of education to career, it's providing all students, and I stress all students, access to high quality educational resources with the opportunity to choose a career in STEM. That means they understand what opportunities exist, but they can also see themselves in those opportunities. And we believe starting at a very early age, kindergarten, first, second grade, how can we ensure that they are thinking like problem solvers and, you know, solution seekers for the problems that we know we're either creating today that will have to be solved tomorrow? How can we give them that exposure to those problems as well as the skills to solve for them?
Wow. And you know, the emphasis on choice that you just put there too, like letting students know what is out there, what is available for them, what are true options, right, that they can see and explore, is such a powerful way to think about bringing this into, you know, a classroom environment. And we know that this is not a one and done situation and that these types of commitments are long-term endeavors. So what does it look like to truly build sustainable equity in STEM education?
Yeah, that's another great question. I think you have to also consider how is it integrated in the day-to-day? And it's not just a moment in time. Like we know that students, for some students have, you know, a STEM fair. But that happens once a year. But how does it become where students are really critically thinking, they're problem solving, they're immersed in the everyday, either global issues that we face or even community issues that we face, be it from water quality, like look at Mississippi right now.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, teachers might be considering taking that into part of their curriculum of how can we solve this? What challenges are we faced as a community? So how do we solve this through the lens of STEM? And how do we show that that can be solved even at the youngest level, all the way through the career? So who's focused right now on solving those problems and showing them the opportunity that exists within a career field towards STEM? But I also think it's about having the opportunity to see the careers as a mirror to diversity of what we see in the world. And so we'll talk about that, I think, a little bit later about what those career profiles that we do create for teachers to access and utilize. But again, it's being able for students to engage in that critical thinking, in the problem solving. And you can even take away the label STEM, because for some, that might actually just, you know, might not encourage them to participate because they might not think it's for them. Mm-hmm. But if they think that they're solving a problem that impacts their day-to-day, that impacts their community, that could impact the world, you normally find more engagement for students because it is connected to the real world. And they don't realize that they're learning science, technology, and engineering, math integrated. They just think they're trying to solve a problem.
That's such a great point about the use of language and framing these conversations with students, right? Or even, I'm sure, and you mentioned your background with teacher education and coaching, right? Even in those conversations too, to say like, this is problem solving, right? This connects to current events and really anchoring it in those, you know, real world problems that we can pull up a video now, right? In a way that, you know, I know there was a time in my past where I would run to the VCR and try and hit record at the very right time, you know, but now we can really pull up this media, right? Show students what's happening in different places and just ways that, you know, wasn't possible before. So, you know, as we're thinking long-term and with that sustainability, you know, in mind, can you share how career prep and recruitment is changing in STEM? What are you seeing in the field?
Well, I'm seeing it happening much earlier, you know, earlier in terms of career prep. We're not trying to make sure that every student becomes a scientist or engineer or web developer. What we're saying is we want them to see the possibilities of that in order to do that, they have to have exposure to those possibilities. So I think we're seeing earlier exposure to the possibilities of entering into a STEM career. I also think that industries are being more intentional about their recruitment practices. Mm-hmm. We're seeing where if you want diversity, you have to go where diversity exists. So that doesn't mean we're, you know, I'm not, you know, by all means, Harvard, Yale, great mm-hmm. schools, MIT, but not all students are choosing to go that route. Some students are self-taught, they're entrepreneurs, and they're trying mm-hmm. to solve world problems, community problems. Some are going to boot camps to learn a very specific skill and enter into a career. So I think there's alternatives to our educational pathways or traditional pathways that we've seen. But I also think that, you know, there's a deliberate and intentional recruitment pathway. For example, we're seeing a shift of large number of students attending historical Black colleges mm-hmm. and universities that we've never seen before. We're seeing more recruitment efforts and partnerships between industries and the historical Black colleges and universities, where we're seeing Brown and Black students who are entering more into the STEM careers or to STEM majors that will lead them to STEM careers. Or I think we're seeing more images of those that look in, you know, diversity around STEM and what does that look like? So again, I think those recruitment intentional ways of recruiting students from different populations, different areas are much more intentional by industry. And they're seeing that we have to do this if we truly want to diversify our workforce in STEM and continue to widen the pipeline from education, from K-12 to college to careers. We are really true about that effort.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were talking and sharing, you know, that word intentional, right? This doesn't happen by accident, right? This isn't just going to happen because, but the planning, the structures, right? The commitment to this at all of these different levels that you described here, right? Or what can help make this happen. So I appreciate you sharing those perspectives of, you know, what it takes, right? Or what needs to happen mm-hmm. in all of these different places in mm-hmm. order to make sure students are set up for success, right? All the way in those kindergarten examples, right? Mm-hmm. All the way at the beginning of their education journey. So, you know, as we are thinking about this topic and, you know, one piece of examining equity in STEM careers and education is gender equity. You know, what is happening now or could happen better at the school level to address this?
Yeah, I think there has to be a level of awareness. There was a study done, I can't recall exactly what that study was, but there was a blind study done with a bunch of teachers and they allowed them to grade papers. So they allowed them to grade math papers and they saw the students' names, saw their answers and graded them as they normally would. And then they did another study where they took away the names. Mm-hmm. So just couldn't recognize who that student was or their gender for that matter. Yeah. And the group that saw the gender tended to grade the male students higher, where they tended to grade mm-hmm. the female students lower. So what is that perception that if I'm a teacher and I have that perception, and it might be, you know, unconscious,
right?
I'm not saying that's intentional, it's unconscious, but then they grade it more evenly when they strip that away. So I think partially it has to recognize our, you know, our own bias towards what we see of who we think can accomplish what. Mm-hmm. And that we have to start there. I think we also have to consider the beliefs and what imagery we're also showing and what's appearing to young women in particular, who we're seeing as an underrepresented group in STEM, mm-hmm. that they can see themselves being scientists, astronauts, CEOs of, you know, tech, huge tech companies. But we have to be able to, again, show that that is an opportunity mm-hmm. and it exists. We have to make sure that we make comfortable spaces for young women to feel as though their answers and their voice is just as important as anyone else in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And we can do that by even developing curriculum that is culturally mm-hmm. responsive, is where, and I would also say gender responsive yeah. as well. And taking into the, you know, consideration that education has to look a little bit different, because we're recognizing even more so the differences of our students. Mm-hmm. And how do we do so, like we said earlier, in a much intentional way?
Yeah, and just those models for students to mm-hmm. see themselves in, you know, like I think about
you know, to working in a classroom environment, you know, was I choosing videos where an expert sounded or looked a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. Or was I, you know, recommending a podcast to someone where the expert that was interviewed, right, reflected a student's experience? And it's just, mm-hmm. you know, even those small things that if we're not conscious of or intentional, you know, you mentioned just that unconscious bias that we mm-hmm. all bring into different environments, right? It can have such a big impact for a student who hears someone who is an expert or who is on stage for that TED talk or whatever it might be, right? Speaking about these different topics.
Right. I mean, even if you think about it, if a student were to do an internet search and let's say put web developer, if they did an image search, the images that pop up, what does that say to the student? What message is that saying about, you know, the gender that you currently mm-hmm. represent? And do you see yourself in that field? And so, again, being very intentional about that, I think also I see it as a responsibility myself. When I went from, I told you I was an environmental scientist, and then I went into the classroom, I found myself subbing one day, and it was for a male science teacher in eighth grade. So I was subbing, and I started solving equations. And the young ladies are like, wait a minute. You know how to solve equations? Because at that time, I was a STEM administrator. So they just saw me with a bunch of technology all the time. That's the lady with all the computers. But when I started solving, they were like, what do you know how to do this? I was like, oh yeah, I have a degree in science, in biology. And the surprise look on their face in terms of me being a woman of color, me being a Black woman. Mm-hmm. I know myself, I did not have a Black woman science teacher until I attended college. So that was 12 years of my educational experience that I did not see someone that looked like me. Mm-hmm. And so again, being intentional about recruitment of teachers, the fields that the teachers are going to, how are we recruiting for the fields that many teachers of the diversity that we want to see? Because again, that's to students, that's sometimes the very first opportunity that they have exposure to what we think or how we think things should be or what a teacher should look like or a scientist or engineer. So again, it's about that intentionality. That's about the responsibility, like I said, that I think I have to give back, to speak to as many students as I possibly can so they understand the possibility. And that's why I'm so excited about the work that I'm doing at Discovery Education with our STEM Careers Coalition and how we are really trying to make an impact. As so far, we've reached 5 million students in our efforts to show that there's, you know, it's the possibilities within STEM.
And I just love that idea of giving teachers access to resources to help them make this happen, right? Which I think mm-hmm. kind of leads into the next question I wanted to ask you. You know, if listeners are excited about STEM education and they do, you know, they want to prepare students for careers of the future, what is an action they can take to move the needle in that direction?
Yeah, for any listeners, and let's say it's a parent. So if you're a parent, I would say right now, it's so much easier to find these resources than it was, I would say, 10 years ago for myself. You know, my son this summer said, I want to learn how to code. I was like, okay, we'll let you get you into a coding camp. And coding camps could be literally at the top-notch universities, mm-hmm. or they could be at the rec centers that exist that now have, you know, that type of programming that would be accessible for students to be able to participate even online. As we know, the pandemic has changed many things. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is virtual opportunities, free and virtual opportunities. So I would say the exposure to the opportunities of even just saying that these are possibilities within STEM careers and knowing what those possibilities are. So just literally searching for those opportunities that exist within your community, which exist virtually. But then, of course, advocating at the school that we want students to have these resources so that, again, they're interacting with the resources that will help them understand what possibilities exist. And I know as a teacher, as a former teacher, that was one thing that, you know, burdened us all the time, the time to plan, the time to access to resources. And that was our attempt here within the STEM Careers Coalition, is to make sure we provided high quality resources for teachers. So if we want all students to have access, it should be part of curriculum. It should be part of the day-to-day in schools. And we're not asking to take away from any one subject. Mm-hmm. We're saying, let's integrate this so that it becomes part of the day-to-day and it becomes the norm for all students to have access. That's for parents, I would say. So advocating, seeing what resources that exist. And for students, the, you know, dream. What do you want to dream about? If it's, you know, being an entrepreneur to solve problems, then so be it. But how do you get there and how do you do that? Stick with it. Seek out a mentor. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say seek out a mentor, because there's lots of folks that are willing to give back to help support those dreams of students. I have a success story of my own in working with Discovery Education in Miami-Dade School District. There was a young woman who came from Haiti, spoke very little English, and I was supporting her teacher in the integration of technology in her classroom. I'm so very proud to say that she stuck with her goal and desire to be a nurse, but she sought out mentorship. She asked me actually to be a mentor. So I've seen her go from a freshman to working her way through college to now becoming a registered nurse years later. But I do think you need the support of someone who's either gone down the path that you've gone or can help you navigate that path, because it is hard and difficult sometimes depending on which STEM career that you choose. So I would say having a mentor, and is now you can have a mentor as early as possible. You don't have to wait until you're thinking about going into a career, you're going to college, seeking out those that have similar interests to where you want to go and get that support.
Yeah. And just someone who can help navigate through that whole process too, right? I think sometimes, you know, for someone who might be asked to be a mentor, who might take on that role, it can feel a little intimidating, but knowing that you're there to help support, you're helped navigate through those different pathways is huge. And so, you know, can you share a little bit more about how Discovery Education is working with industry leaders together on this initiative? I know I'm going to link out to lots of things for listeners to explore, but would love to hear a little bit more about that story and that background.
Absolutely. Well, Discovery Education launched the STEM Careers Coalition in 2019. And ever since then, we've been integrating activities and career videos as part of a suite of STEM resources for teachers. But we've actually grown that into more of a coalition of about 22 plus partners. And those industry partners, this is where industry partners can be involved to become a partner to provide financial resources to supplement gaps in school funding. So literally saying, oh, we have a need within a school around funding, and how can we connect? Discovery has connected industry leaders with those schools to provide the funding to make sure they have access to curriculum, to technology. Partners have also contributed to our digital library of STEM resources. So we've built that out. So we have more career videos, and it's not just about the video, because we know that screen time exists, but it's about seeing the possibilities of career. But then there's activities that we've built so students can engage and understand, oh, this is the career, but this is what it means to actually engage in that career. And how do you do that in a very thoughtful way? So we have activities that go along with those videos. We have after school resources, and we also have employee engagement. So for example, our partners, let's say at Procter & Gamble, there's opportunities for those employees to engage with teachers and students. So not only are you seeing a video, but you can actually see a live in person if that's, you know, the direction that the teacher and our school wants to go. So we made sure that all of our industry partners have an opportunity to engage with students directly as well.
Just all of those options are so fantastic, especially for a teacher or school who's looking for the best way to integrate these components into the work that they do. I just love, and I know I've spent a lot of time looking at these resources, jumping into the site and seeing what's there. And it's just, there's a lot to choose from, but also a lot of connections to things that teachers may already be doing right in their work. And this can just take that to the next level. So Of course, I'm going to link out to everything for listeners to find, but can you share with us, where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say this is free. So because of our partners, it's free and accessible. You go to stemcareerscoalition.org. I'll say that again, stemcareerscoalition.org. You will see where there are resources for educators, for students, for stakeholders to use the resources that we've cultivated to really bring that rich engagement to students and hopefully inspire students to even consider the idea of entering into a STEM career.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for your time today, for sharing these great resources and stories for us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I love today's conversation, and if you want to make EdTech easy, here are some key points from today's episode. Be intentional. Think long-term. Make community connections. And use language like problem solvers in addition to terms like STEM. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Discovery Ed. Thank you to our sponsor, STEM Careers Coalition. Having reached over 5.7 million students since launch in 2019, the coalition is nurturing a diverse culture of STEM education in K-12 schools and after-school centers nationwide by empowering educators to teach STEM effectively in the classroom, fostering and promoting quality education, and building the next generation of STEM solution seekers with an intentional focus on racial and gender equity. Learn more at stemcareerscoalition.org. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. This includes the special bonus episodes that pop up every once in a while on a Sunday. If you have a moment today and are feeling extra helpful, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for different resources inside of their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for this week's new episode.